The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So that might have been the shortest scripture reading that we've had on a Sunday morning. Two verses, and yet they say so much, especially as we move through Mark's gospel. We don't want to leave anything out, and so we get to hear those two verses. I've always had a pretty good sense of direction. For as long as I can remember, I've always been able to take all the back routes to get wherever I needed to go, often to the concern of other people in the vehicle with me. Are you sure you know where you're going? You know? I had a natural sense of direction that enabled me to guide people through the mountains as I worked at Sky Ranch for quite a few years to take them on backpacking trips. I would often be able to take us in the right direction, even if I didn't know exactly where I was in relation to where we needed to be. We would end up in the right spot. When Pastor Sonia and I were on our honeymoon 20 plus years ago, we were exploring around an area of Vienna, Austria, and we had been out for a while, but we had to keep a close eye on time because we had a train to catch for an event that we were going to try to do that evening. So as it was getting closer to time, we decided we should probably head back to where we were staying. Now, I knew in my mind our route had pretty much taken us, you know, you could imagine three sides of a rectangle. And so as we started, you know, we needed to head back. I figured we could just finish the rectangle. It's right over there where we need to go. Pastor Sonia wasn't so certain about that. She figured the best way to get back always, if you don't have a good sense of direction, is just to go back the way you came, right? Retrace your steps. Well, this just didn't make sense to me because it would take three times the amount of time to retrace our steps. And it was just right there, right? Just complete the rectangle. So I promised her that if I was wrong this time, she would never have to trust my sense of direction again. Fortunately, the way that I wanted to go did lead us straight back. And in about a third of the time that it would have taken us to retrace our steps. Now, knowing your destination doesn't always mean you know how to get there, especially if you're in a place where you've never been before. But these days, it has gotten a lot easier for those of us who love technology anyway. With just a few taps on your phone, you can find exact directions as long as you know where your destination is, a name, an address, whatever it may be. And it will even find quicker detours if there's traffic or other obstacles. It's amazing. It's incredible. I don't know why, but I always get a chuckle. I don't know how many of you use Google Maps, but I always get a chuckle out of it when I'm using Google Maps on my phone to get somewhere. And as you pull up to your destination, the voice on Google Maps says, "You have arrived. You have arrived." It's a voice that sounds so final, as if to say, "I have arrived. I've finally made it to the top. I am done. Life is good, and it couldn't get any better. You have arrived." I always get a good laugh out of that. Because most of the time I feel like I am far from having arrived. And I wonder if other people had similar thoughts. Maybe they laughed to themselves a little when they heard the very first words of Jesus' public ministry. In Mark's gospel, Jesus is baptized, he's tempted in the wilderness, and then the very first words we hear him say are, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near." It sounds pretty final. And I'm guessing these first words must have sounded as surprising then as they might today as we look around in the world, because Jesus basically is saying, "You have arrived." Everyone must have been thinking, "Yeah, right. Have you seen what the world looks like? You think this is the kingdom of God?" Mark gives us a clue that they had to be wondering that, I think, because today's scripture started with the words, "Now after John was arrested." See, Mark wants to set up the tension. He wants us to realize that Jesus is speaking into a world that's still troubled and violent, has all kinds of problems. The world was as big a mess then as it is now. And Jesus has the nerve to say that the kingdom of God has come near. You have arrived. This is good news. But as Mark states in those first words of his entire gospel account, it is only the beginning of the good news. This good news is that God's kingdom that feels so impossibly far away is here now. Wherever Jesus is, because in him, in Jesus, God's presence is real and is powerful. The kingdom of God has come near. When we think of kingdoms of earth, we think of something that you can point to on a map. An area that could be a destination, an area that's ruled by a king or a queen or some other ruler who rules over the land and over their people, enforcing their authority, whether good or bad, but enforcing their authority through military and economic means, taxes. And though many kingdoms throughout history have claimed their authority by divine right, no kingdom holds on to their power and authority forever. But God's kingdom is much different. You can't point to God's kingdom on a map. It is not limited to a geographic region controlled by God. It is certainly not ruled with the same kind of power that's required to rule an earthly kingdom. Instead of an area on the map, God's kingdom is ruled in our hearts and in our minds through faith in Jesus. And instead of ruling with military and economic power, God's kingdom shows power through humility and love. As Jesus came in weakness and was even killed. Because, believe it or not, this subversive, backward kind of rule threatened the authority and the power of earthly might. But for those who believe, this threat to earthly power is also a promise. And it's a beautiful promise, especially when the kingdoms of the earth shake. While earthly kingdoms might teeter, while people fight to claim authority, while people question whether God really does have authority here as we look around, God's presence is still here, exercising a different kind of rule and authority and power, while all that other mess may still be happening. Now, I know we have plenty of reasons to wonder if God's rule and authority and power really do make any difference in this world. It's a nice thought that Jesus showed God's rule with love and humility, but that's not really going to win the day, is it? Humility and love can't control, can't take over all these problems that we're facing. That's the destination we're after, God's kingdom. We might as well be trying to climb a rope ladder to the moon. And yet Jesus says the time is fulfilled. God's kingdom has come near. You have arrived. you've arrived, because Jesus brings the very presence of God. The presence that allows us to rise above the expectations and the requirements of earthly kingdoms. You have arrived because the destination isn't something that you could point to on a map. But it's the presence of God in your hearts. You have arrived not because of some long, winding journey of your own, but because Jesus navigated his own journey for you and for me. Jesus navigated the very depths of hell for you and rose again to new life. Sure, there are still many, many struggles in the world around us. Even as Jesus claims that the kingdom of God has come near, the time is fulfilled, there are many struggles, which means God's kingdom really hasn't come in its completion. Maybe that's why Jesus says it has come near. It doesn't go as far as saying, it's done, completed. And yet, it is complete. It is fully here by faith, by the presence of God through Jesus Christ. Even though the fullness of the kingdom is not yet fully realized, the kingdom has already begun, the beginning of the good news. And you and I are a vital part of it. It is everywhere and it is now. Wherever the presence of God rules, God's kingdom is fully here. That's why Jesus taught his disciples and each of us to pray to God, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Of just part of that prayer, your kingdom come, Martin Luther wrote in his small catechism, he writes that in fact, God's kingdom comes on its own with or without our prayer. But we ask in this prayer that it would come to us. God's kingdom does come. God's kingdom comes to us and invites us into that kingdom to be able to share the way that God's kingdom is ruled. It's not a destination that we can navigate to, but our hearts and our lives, and in fact, the whole world around us, is the destination for God's kingdom. But we pray that God's kingdom would come to us. It would rule our hearts so that then through us we can bring that kingdom to the troubled world around us. God's kingdom is here, fully and completely in your hearts through faith. God's presence is already breaking into the world. That's why Jesus could already proclaim that now is the time. Time is fulfilled. And promise us that still today, now is the time. It's easy to look at the news. It's easy to look out at what's going on in the world, in the troubles of the world. But if we open our eyes, if we train our eyes, it might be daily a little bit easier each day for us to also see God's kingdom. Wherever peace and love and humility rule. And if we open our hearts, we can actually be God's presence to bring love to a troubled world. Knowing your destination doesn't always mean you know how to get there, especially if you're in a place where you've never been. But it might just be that you are already there. You have arrived. Jesus has shown the way. And in fact, he is the way for the full presence of God and the kingdom of God to rule in your hearts and in mine, and in fact, to rule the world. This is the beginning of the good news. Thanks be to God. Amen.